your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour this morning, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We welcome you in, and phone lines will be open the entire hour, 201-939-4513, and a lot of hot topics on the table for today, Paul Dottino. First and foremost, we know by 4 p.m. this afternoon, the Giants are going to have to, I guess, get this roster down to 75. They're at 90 right now. That means 15 players must go. One guy that I know we can report is Charles James, tweeted earlier this morning, and it has been confirmed that he has been cut. And as soon as you heard that, you said that that was a big surprise for you.
It was for me, Anita, because he's a good special teams player, and Tom Coughlin has been stressing throughout the course of the summer that he needs guys to play on specials, and he needs more guys to step up. And Charles James was clearly one of those energetic leader guys on special teams. And my feeling was that he was going to make the 53 as the sixth cornerback. Well, the sixth cornerback is not going to see many plays during the course of the regular season anyway, unless a bunch of other corners get hurt. And so, in my mind, he was of value because he might be on the field six or seven times during the course of a game every Sunday, and he could make an impact, that he could make some positive plays there. But as the sixth corner, which I understand, he's small and he was unable to defend on several types of passes because of his diminutive size, I just don't think that that outweighs the potential reward that you get from him on specials on a consistent basis. This tells me two things. It tells me, A, that Bennett Jackson, the rookie free agent out of Notre Dame, who they do like, he's a six-foot corner, goes about 195 pounds. They think he's got some potential. Perhaps this tells me that they were afraid to sneak him through waivers onto the practice squad, and they really felt they had to protect him and keep him. Although, again, we're still not down to the final 53. But he would be a guy I would be looking at potentially as that sixth corner now. I'm also thinking they're probably going to keep four safeties. There was some thought that maybe they would try to skimp and keep only three. I think they're going to go with four. And Nat Burhe, who had a really good game last week with a lot of extra snaps and also played well on specials, I think he's going to sneak in there as number four.
So, as I said, there's a lot of hot topics on the table today. And we're going to try to discuss all of them, get to all of them, and feel free to call in 201-939-4513 if you have an opinion on any of them, as well all over social media at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and we'll be sharing your comments and questions as well. So again, Giants by 4 p.m. this afternoon have to cut this roster down from 90 to 75. That means 15 must go. That's going to be a hot topic today. Also, offensive line issues. What is the latest with Jeff Schwartz? I know he's in a boot. What are they saying? 7 to 10
days. And then a re-examination.
A re-examination, and he's going to be week to week in regard to if he could suit up and play. That is not – it's optimistic. It's better than, oh, no, the Giants have lost Jeff Schwartz for the season. But it's still not great news, especially since you've got Mosley and Brewer who are dealing with back issues.
And Brown has a shoulder issue, so the offensive line is really in shambles.
It is, and so this is where I'm going with this, is that is Richie Incognito, the guy who caused all the issues in the Miami Dolphins locker room last season, and was pretty much blackballed by Roger Goodell in the NFL, has been reinstated and able to sign and play for any team. He visited with the Tampa Bay Bucs yesterday. I would imagine that there are a number of teams that have issues on the offensive line. Maybe nobody is dire as the Giants. So I'm throwing out the question to Giants fans, 201-939-4513. Is Incognito, is this a guy that, because the offensive line is such a mess, is this a guy, are you willing to take a gamble on bringing in potentially a bad egg into a phenomenal Giants locker room? That locker room is one of the best, healthy, positive, united, drama-free locker rooms in the NFL. Is what Richie Incognito can bring to this offense and this offensive line and protecting Eli and trying to get this West Coast offense running properly, is it worth the risk? Do you feel that maybe he's been, reborn? a new man, a changed philosophy on life, no longer a bully. 201-939-4513. So, and also to make a quick note, against the Patriots on Thursday night, the Giants' first team is going to play anywhere between 15 and 18 snaps. Paul, I said this before we started the show. I want to see the offense play an entire half. I'm sorry. I'm worried. Yes, I have. I've been pushing that panic button, okay? That Staples, you know those Staples commercials, the big red button? I've been pushing that button even since before the season began. I am not comfortable with this offense. I don't think 15 to 18 snaps does it for me, as they have to get ready to travel to Detroit to take on a Lions team that is rolling on all cylinders. I don't think 15, 18 snaps does it. I want to see this offense play an entire half, if not more. I get it. It's the fifth preseason game. It's typically not what you do. But I haven't seen anything from this offense that is going to make me sleep well at night, believing that they actually have a chance on September 8th against the Lions. So here, I know these are a lot of hot topic questions.
We're busy.
And I want to throw it out there so Giants fans can call in, chime in. Maybe you disagree with me. Hopefully you do. It makes for a better show. Maybe you agree with me. 201-939-4513.
Well, I will agree with you about the snaps. I think that the Giants could use six preseason games instead of only five this year because this team is not ready.
Right.
Okay. So I'm with you. I wouldn't mind seeing them play at least a half in this particular game, no matter who the Patriots put out on the field, even if they brought their janitors to play the game. I'd still want to see the Giants' first team get some more snaps than 15 to 18, especially this offensive line, by the way, which at the moment, you didn't get a chance to mention this lineup. It's Will Beattie at left tackle, Weston Richburg at left guard, J.D. Walton at center, John Jerry at the moment is the starting right guard, and then Justin Pugh is the starting right tackle. That's a concern at the moment because these guys have had just a couple of, you know, practices together, and they're going to be out there. That's first. Second, as far as Incognito's concerned, I'm not as enthusiastic about bringing him here as you are, but here's what I would say.
Who says I'm enthusiastic?
I thought you were promoting that he should be here.
How did I say that? I didn't even give you my opinion, what I think.
Raised the question. And I agree with the question. And I believe...
Because it is a risk. Because this Giants...
It is.
This Giants locker room is one of the best... I've been covering the NFL for a long time.
It's a good locker room.
Dolphins 10 years. Ravens 4. This is my fifth year here. Don't do the math. This is the best locker room I've ever covered. Are you willing to risk the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the unity that exists here for a guy who may or may not have been, I don't know, rehabilitated? I don't know. How do you want to phrase it? I don't know.
I have a thought.
Uh-huh. You want to save it? You want to go to our callers? Because we've got a ton. Let's hear what the Giants fans have to say, because really this show's for them.
Okay.
All right. So let's kick it off with Yub calling in from Georgia. Yub, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Hi.
All right. First, I want to say that I do agree with you guys about the preseason. Although this last preseason game, I think that we should see more than just 15 or 16 snaps between the starters. I think they should, at the least, because I know it is the last preseason game, I want to see at least a quarter or maybe like some into the second quarter. But with that being said, like, my question is, why have we not seen Corey Washington line up with the starters in the preseason game?
Well, that's pretty simple right now because, let's face it, you're not going to pull Cruz out. He needs the work with Eli. And you're not going to pull Randall out either because he also needs the work with Eli in addition to continue to develop himself. And quite honestly, Corey Washington is also not a slot guy. So you're going to say to me, well, why not put Randall and Washington wide and put Cruz in the slot? Well, they're still trying to figure out what some of these other receivers can do. I think we all know Corey Washington's making the 53. Okay? I think we all know that.
Yeah, but that's not what his...
He's on the team.
But that's not what his question is, and I understand where he's coming from, Paul, because I get it on Twitter a lot, and that is the first-team offense has struggled. Giants 4-0 in the preseason, please. They're 4-0 because of Nassib and Corey Washington, and the offense in the fourth quarter has been able to engineer solid drives to put up points and score and help win this team, help this team win in the fourth quarter against other players that more than likely aren't going to be on anybody's roster.
Right.
After today.
I agree.
But with that being said, if anybody knows anything about football, even though the Giants are 4-0 in the preseason, you still have major concerns because of the way the starting offense has operated. So I'm getting the question of, well, Corey Washington has been a shining, kind of like, I like to say, a silver lining on a very dark cloud offensively. So why aren't we seeing him go with the first team? Let's see what he can, if he's doing this in the third and fourth quarter, why don't we get a see what he can bring, see if he could help the starting offense put something together in the first quarter. I understand that line of questioning for fans thinking, all right, maybe Corey Washington can be a difference maker. Maybe Corey Washington can spark something here in this offense and help them generate some type of impressive drive in the first quarter.
I think Coach is more concerned with getting more snaps to some guys who he doesn't know about. I think that would be his answer if you asked him the question, because I need to find out about Jarrell Jernigan. I need to find out about Marcus Harris, who's now hurt. I need to find out about Preston Parker. And therefore, I need to get these guys a bulk of snaps because I'm not sure if they're making my team. I think he's more concerned about guys identifying what they are and do they deserve to be on the 53 than he is concerned about where does Corey Washington belong on the depth chart. I don't think that's a high priority. And I get the question. I just don't think it's a high priority.
201-939-4513. Really quick before we do head back out to the phone lines, Joe on Twitter says, no, not willing to take a gamble on Incognito. He's talking about Richie Incognito. Not in a million years. He's not a Giant. There you go. Let's go to Phil in New Jersey. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Okay.
I'm concerned about the offense like you are. I think they should play the whole game just so we can get some type of rhythm.
I'm with you. The
offensive line is very, very bad. I mean, I think if Incognito is available, we should, you know, try to get him. It's not going to hurt. You know, we don't have that many good players as it is right now in the line. But I have one question. Are the Giants willing to, you know, call the 49ers about Alex Boone?
You know, I think they have probably put in their due diligence and done some investigation. But as you know, he hasn't been traded. And the Niners are saying that they really don't want to trade him. But if they had gotten the right offer from some team, he would have been gone. In fact, quite honestly, remember, the way this works, he's a holdout. If you want to make a deal with him, you're going to have to not only trade a pick, but you're going to have to give him a boatload of money because that's the reason he's holding out in the first place. So you got to go to the Niners and say, can we have permission to talk to your agent about getting a new deal with this guy before we trade for him? Because if we can't do that, we're not going to make a deal. Well, we haven't heard of any of those things going on. So it seems to me that the trade waters are very, very quiet for the Niners offensive linemen. I do want to mention one other thing, Anita. My mistake in talking about Bennett Jackson. He was a sixth-round pick out of Notre Dame this year. Although six-rounders are virtually undrafted free agents. That's my bad. I confused him with somebody else who I was thinking about. But in any event, just to clarify that, the Giants are desperate for offensive linemen. We know that. There's no question. I'm going to throw in my Incognito comment right here. I think as the Giants have probably done due diligence in investigating the 49ers situation, I believe that they should do due diligence as well and investigate Cognito. I don't know that he is a good fit for this team. I'm with you about the questions of the locker room situation. But what I would say is this. I would consider talking to him. I would consider doing the investigative background check that they do on all these guys when they try to come back from whatever it is that they're fighting. I would then perhaps bring him in and talk to, you know, Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin. I might even have some of the team leaders in that room to converse and to discuss and give me their opinions as to how do you think you can deal with this guy and how do they interact with him. I would do due diligence. And I'm not saying that I'd sign him, but I would do due diligence. If he's willing to come in for an interview, I think it'd be worth exploring. I don't know that I would sign him. I think it would take a lot. The burden of proof's going to be high for me. But I would just not flat out turn my back and dismiss it. How's that for an answer?
Okay. Keep in mind, Incognito, Pro Bowl offensive lineman. We're not talking about like a guy that is just going to come in and like be a cog. I mean, this is a guy that arguably could be top three offensive linemen on this roster.
Maybe
Beattie,
the best.
Pugh,
maybe
Beattie,
the best.
Beattie, Pugh, and Incognito. So, I'm not saying that the Giants should do it. I think it's an interesting debate. I think it's an interesting thought.
Cough it up. What should they do? You agree with me? You agree with me?
I don't know. This is why I want to open up the phone line. I want to hear from the fans. At the end of the show, maybe I'll have a better opinion. I just don't know. I love the locker room. I'm really big into positive energy, and I like being around positive people, and I like my work and my home to be drama free, and I'm big into energy, and so that's a big risk for me to bring in somebody who's a bad egg, to bring in somebody who's got bad energy. But at the same time, I understand how badly this team needs help on the offensive line. Even before these injuries, Paul, this offensive line is one of the worst in the NFL. So it's a gamble. I just don't know. I don't really have an opinion on this. I wanted to open up for the fans.
I'm a facts guy, and I think you got to go on your facts finding mission to really make a logical or an adequate judgment. And so I'm with you. I have huge questions about it, but I'm willing to dig up more facts before I make a decision.
I don't believe people change. I believe people modify behavior.
Interesting.
And especially later on in life. So that frightens me. That makes sense. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Timothy calling in from New Jersey. Timothy, a lot of hot topics on the table. What do you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about Jeff Schwartz's injury.
Okay.
He dislocated his toe during last Friday's game against the Jets. How long will he be out for?
Well, we really don't know the answer to that. He's going to be in a boot for 7 to 10 days, and then it's going to be, I guess, week to week. He'll be reevaluated, and we'll find out. The good news is, the worst-case scenario was he might need surgery and be out for the season, and that apparently, at this point, has been avoided.
You knew it was bad when the trainer, when Ronnie had to put the towel over the foot when he was being carted off. As soon as he did that, I was just like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Hey, look, it's bad anytime they get the cart to begin with.
It's
you
true.
Know what I mean?
It's true.
So to me, it was like, oh, boy, not good.
201-939-4513. Again, monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. If you've got a comment or a question for the show, we will share it. Let's go to Ben, calling in from New York City. Ben, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks.
Hello?
Ben, you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Ben.
Can you hear me?
We can, Ben. Come on now. What do you got?
Yeah, we're having trouble with our phone lines because when I was talking to Lance Meadow before, I got cut off, and I was just speaking.
Well, Ben, I tell you what. Why don't you just fire off your question, and we'll answer it. You can hang up and listen to it on the computer. But if you had a question or a comment, just fire away. Go ahead. All right, Joe, we're going to have to let him go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go. All right, not going to work.
I feel like that was a Saturday Night Live skit. Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could use that on Saturday.
We got to bring back Don Pardo.
Let's go to Stas. Stas calling in. Stas, welcome to the show. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you guys clear as day.
Fantastic. What's your question? What's your comment?
Okay, so hear me out. I'm going to squeeze it in quick. Mm-hmm. One, I do not condone what Richie Incognito did in Florida. Two, I'm not going to sit here and believe that kind of language isn't in almost every NFL locker room. That was two. Three, he was able to do what he did because he was in a weak locker room. I do not think if he's brought into the Giants locker room, I know for a fact the likes of John Beeson and Antoine Roe, that's their locker room. he's not going to come in and cause trouble. And four, if we remember back to last year, every single one of his teammates, except for the teammate in question, backed him up as a team player. Every single one of his teammates when they were interviewed wanted him back on the team because the guy can produce on the field. And the same thing that they had with issues with Shockey when he was a rookie, it all was squashed. The minute he went out that preseason and lit it up, everything was squashed. A lot of things get cured with winning. And with Jeff Schwartz going down with a dislocated toe, and I'm going to say this, mark my words, week four, probably, with no surgery, because I've known people with dislocated toes. For an O-lineman that big, week four, for that thing to be 100%, if we're lucky. You know, do we really want our quarterback in the same situation that he was last year? If with Jeff Schwartz on the line, he's going to get impression in preseason without complicated blitz schemes. I'm worried. I'm honestly worried about the O-line. I think
so.
You're saying
go after Incognito.
If you can nail him down for 1 year to get you past this, to give you time for Jeff Schwartz to heal up, and then it gets you to another draft to get another strong, productive O-lineman, go for it, because Boone is not going to happen, and if it does, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Whoever gets Incognito is going to be able to lock Incognito up for a little bit more than veteran minimum because of the situation. We should go after it and at least give our offense, because I'm not an optimistic fan to the point that I think, oh, the Giants are going to the Super Bowl this year. Okay, this is a reloading year. There's a lot of bugs to work out. But you're not going to give the offensive line an honest chance. You're not going to give the offensive scheme an honest chance to develop if that O-line isn't doing their part. And if the O-line isn't doing their part, then you can really chalk up this season to another losing season. And I don't know if I want to waste another year of Eli Manning's prime. I don't know if I want to waste another year of Victor Cruz's contract. I don't know if I want to go into next year with JPP coming off the books and Amuka Moore coming off the books. With that kind of situation, you know, you've got to create that winning atmosphere in here to make people want to stay. And they had a very good conversation on NFL AM this morning about the O-line on the New York Giants. And normally I don't like what they say about the Giants because it always feels like it's full of haterade. But this is like one of the best I've ever heard. And LeVar Arrington led the conversation. If you guys get a chance, take a look at it. But as soon as Richie Incognito came out, I tweeted Paul and John, as soon as Jess Schwartz went down, I tweeted John. Incognito you're not doing your due diligence as an owner, as a manager, if you don't seriously consider the situation. We all have messed up, and anybody in here who wants to point fingers on people, you know, I guarantee you if we dig into your life, we can find a thing or two you're not proud of either. You know, I mean, give the guy a shot.
One, more than one for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying. Give the guy a shot. This is the New York Giants.
But I mean,
we have no problem giving somebody the ball.
But to that extent, hey, thank you for the phone call. It's a strong phone call to make. I like the point that he made. I totally forgot about this. His teammates from the Miami Dolphins came out and wanted him back on the team, wanted him back in that locker room, wanted him back in uniform, helping them trying to win football games. I totally forgot about that. He's right.
Well, perhaps a sidelight to this story, Anita, is that John Jerry was also named in that bullying situation in Miami, and the Giants did sign him during the offseason. They did their due diligence. They thought that John Jerry could help. They brought him in here. He has not been a problem at all. Now, whether or not you think he's a good fit for this line and he's a good player, that could be another question entirely. But they did, after investigating, think that John Jerry was an okay guy to bring here. And there have been no problems in that locker room. Now, if Incognito were to be here with John Jerry in this locker room, is that suddenly a problem now? I don't know. I don't think so. But again, everybody has to be taken on an individual case-by-case basis. I do think that the Giants should investigate. And I think that was a very good call.
201-939-4513, the phone number. Again, a lot of hot topics on the table. Incognito, is that a guy that you want to see the Giants go after, considering Jeff Schwartz is going to be in a boot for a few weeks? Well, a few days, actually. 10 days. He's going to be week to week once the season begins. Mosley Brewer dealing with back issues. This offense has been sputtering. You really haven't seen a fine-oiled machine running that West Coast offense. Also,
more like a tractor on a farm.
Also, the Giants starters are going to play that fifth and last preseason game on Thursday night against the Patriots, but only 15 to 18 snaps. Both Paul and I and a few of the callers believe that I want to see them in a half. I want to see them come out. I want to see them put together a 5 to 7 minute drive down the field and score a touchdown. If that happens on the first drive, okay. But if they come out and they're sputtering again, how do you take them out? Knowing that you've got to head to the Motor City to take on a Lions team whose offense is ridiculous and has some guy named Sue who's going to come after Eli, knowing how bad this offensive, I just don't think they should just play 15 to 18 snaps. That's on the table. And also today by 4 p.m. Eastern time, the Giants have to cut 15 guys. How interesting is it now, Paul, that a guy gets a phone call and it's like, bring your iPad in. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? A coach wants to see you and come with your iPad.
Yeah.
Okay? 2014, my friends.
Yeah.
2014. Bring your iPad.
Yeah, the Turk would never have imagined that for sure back in the 70s. I'll tell you this. You mentioned the snaps in the game this weekend. And we heard from Coach Coughlin yesterday about the number that they would play. And then Eli had come up to the podium for his weekly media session. And Paul Schwartz of the New York Post said, well, Coach said 15, 18 snaps. I'm assuming you would like that to be no more than two drives. I mean, let's face it, you know, because you'd like to have maybe a 10-play drive and an 8-play drive. You certainly don't want a bunch of three and outs, that's for sure. Anyway. Oh, Anita, this is going to be one heck of a day down here, I'll tell you that. A lot of stuff going on.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Markel calling in from New Jersey. Markel, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah, it's my first time calling.
This is your first time?
Yeah, my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have a lot of concern. Like, when I was watching the game, like, I had to turn off my TV because I got really mad. Like, the offensive line is terrible. And I like the Odell Beckham pick. But, like, now I'm kind of like, I wish we would have got, like, offensive lineman because this is, like, we can't, Eli can't. The two plays, it was Eli's fault. Like, when he was going over there to the corner, try to force it to Victor Cruz, I think he could have just threw that away. And another one is when he was running, Eli's not fast. He knows he's not fast, so he should have just threw away the ball. And if he was trying to run, he was holding it with one hand. He should have just threw away because that could have been another turnover. And, yeah, I just think we should have got offensive linemen. I said again, Odell Beckham Jr. And Odell Beckham kind of reminds me of a Miles Austin with his hamstring, and that's all I wanted to say. See you.
All right, well, the bad news is Beckham's not going to play on Thursday, Anita. He's already been ruled out, and quite honestly, I'm not even sure when he's going to get on the field again because of that hammy and if he'll even be able to play at all against the Lions. I think when they work him into this lineup, it's going to be as a punt returner. I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver immediately when they throw him out there. He's just not ready. He's way behind. He is way, way behind.
All right, but time out. Even as a punt returner, Paul, you need to have that explosive. I mean, you catch the ball, and then you've got to take that explosive, and you've got to cut and maneuver and try to...
This has nothing to do with his hammy. My concern is timing with Eli. He doesn't know his routes. His quarterback and him have absolutely no clue or feel for each other. So I let him get out there for a couple of weeks on punt returns while Eli and him try to practice up and get something going and then maybe work him into the offense a little bit in the first couple of games. But I'm first using him as a punt returner only. Seriously.
You cannot have that type of talent, Paul, and only use him as a punt returner.
Okay.
I mean, the kid's been playing football since he was five. I'm sure he knows what an out route is, a slant route. You keep him, give him
three plays, give him five plays, and say that's all you got?
My mom would say, kiss, Anita. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Keep it simple, stupid.
Anyway. But in reference to his other point, which was about Eli... There's no question. He's uncomfortable. He forced a couple of things the other night. And what I told John yesterday, and I know you weren't here, I said, if I'm Tom Coughlin, I'm sitting Eli down and saying, I know you want to make a play. I know that's your nature. I know that's exactly how your instincts are. But calm down. Sit down. Bite your tongue. Throw the handcuffs on. Rely on your running game. Don't force it, because that's going to get us into more trouble than what it's worth. He needs to. Right now, I'm going to tell you something. Eli Manning has the biggest challenge of his entire career right now, because he has to fight his instincts to try to make a play. He needs to pull back, and he needs to actually, I hate to say it, manage a game. That's what he needs to do. Manage a game.
Maybe you should pull him aside today at practice. You guys have a little conversation. All the guys know that, you know, Paul Dottino does wear the coach hat sometimes.
Whatever it takes.
201-939-4513. The caller did mention Odell Beckham Jr. Now, what did he do yesterday? You were out here yesterday. I was not, unfortunately. I was golfing in Saratoga. Yeah, I was. And
you call that golf?
Saratoga? Are you kidding me? Saratoga National? It was fantastic.
Oh, see, I know that as a horse racing place.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's horse racing, but there's golf up there. Anyway, we sidetracked.
Yes.
You were here yesterday. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I was not. What did you see from Odell Beckham?
Beckham plays around on the side with the football. He jogs a little bit, does the bike, but...
Sounds like what I do on a Saturday afternoon.
Exactly.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah. It's not great.
All right, let's go to Alan, calling in from Florida. Alan, what part of Florida are you calling in from?
Miami, Florida.
Yes, the 305. That's my backyard.
I'm from New York, though. I'm from the 718. Two things. I know Paul, I share Paul's frustration with this pick, and earlier before the draft, I just don't see why you don't get aggressive and trade up. I mean, yeah, we took Jay Bromley in the third round. I'm not impressed with that. I don't know why you couldn't package a deal with Detroit or Tennessee with your first and third and take Luan. I mean, Luan's been a monster, and he just got fined this week for, being tough and being rough, and that's what we needed. We needed a guy who was going to come up here and be physical, be that Dave Deal, Sean O'Hara kind of lineman that's going to, punch you in the mouth and be hardcore. Incognito, not the answer. I mean, this guy got kicked out of Nebraska. He got kicked out of Oregon after only being there for 1 week. He was in St. Louis, and he went to Buffalo. I mean, Tigers don't change their stripes. And, yeah, could we use the help, but at what cost? It's not like you have a guy like Mike Vick where he made that one really tragic mistake. But, yeah, that was it. That's all he's ever had. This guy, is for the last 10 years, college and the pros, has just been a nightmare. And I just don't think his talent is worth that much, because if it was, someone else would have brought him in. You see guys with off-the-field issues all the time, and still teams still fight to bring them in. Look at the 49ers with Alden Smith. They still won't let him go after all the trouble that he gets into, because his talent is that high. If Incognito's talent was that great, Tannehill would have done a lot better the last two seasons, but he really didn't. So that's how I feel about that. And about the offense, they just got to run the ball, man. They go to Detroit, just run the football. Run it 30 times, run it 35 times with these two backs, and hopefully Eli doesn't have to do too much.
Well, I'm with you about running the ball, because a couple of things here. First of all, a struggling offensive line run blocks better than they pass block. Second, you keep Eli out of trouble. Third, control the clock. Absolutely. Do what you have to do to control the tempo of the game. Don't let the lines dictate it to you. For all of those reasons. And fourth, the Giants have some real good backs right now on this team. Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams have shown a lot during this preseason. Four great reasons to now become a running team immediately, at least temporarily. And tell Eli, manage the game, my friend. Manage the game.
We talk a lot about the offensive line not being able to pass protect for Eli Manning, but how good do you think they're going to be in helping this running attack, Paul?
Well, look, in four preseason games, the Giants have run for almost 500 yards. So it's about a buck and a quarter per game. Now, I know stats are very misleading, especially in the preseason. But we have seen Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams not only get the tough yards behind a shuffling offensive line that seems to change every hour, by the way. We've also seen these guys break off some long runs, too. surprising speed and quicks out of both Jennings and Williams, who have shown to me they are big play threats in the running game. They're not just grinded out for 3 or 4 yards a carry. No, 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 no. They have shown that they can make a big play with the ball. So as far as I'm concerned, Anita, I see two guys here who can take a little bit of a hole, or not a hole at all, and get something out of it, and take a good hole and make a big play out of it. See, that's something they haven't had here the last couple of years. The backs they've had on this roster were not able to get that extra stuff out of whatever hole was available, if there was one. These guys can. So that's where I'm hanging my hat.
Here's some reaction on Twitter. Again, you could call into the show, 201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you for the next 20 to 25 minutes.
Can we go past 10:30 if we get good calls? Do we have that option today, Joe? Can we go to 10:45?
If we get good calls.
We'll do it. I mean, it's look at the board. It's like a Christmas tree.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of hot topics on the table for this Tuesday morning. But you can also hit us up on Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Here's a few responses on Twitter, Paul, I want to share with you. This is from Saraceno. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. John Jerry was one of the teammates involved. He's working out fine.
We talked about that before.
In regard to bringing Incognito and the whole ordeal that took place in that Miami Dolphins locker room last year. This is from Steven. He says 15 to 18 snaps could last three quarters with this offense. Let's be honest, that's a lot of three and outs. He's absolutely right. I know he said it as a joke, but he's actually could be spot on with that. This is from BK. Paul Dottino, you are dead wrong saying 12th pick Beckham needs to return punts and not play at wide receiver. Anita, keep him in line. I did. If you recall, I did. I think that's ridiculous, Paul. It's got to be the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard you say, and I'm now working with you 4+ years. This is a number one pick. If you go back and you look at the video of what he was able to do at LSU, he's been playing football a long time. You could put him in the game and say, hey, give me a 3-yard slant, get him the ball, and yards after the catch, my friend.
Maybe I misstated a bit. What I mean to say is he would not be a significant part of this offense the first few weeks if it were me. You want to throw him in there for 4 or 5 plays, give him a couple of snaps, okay. But for me, his major contribution the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season would be on punt returns.
Here's a tweet from Ross. Now that Incognito is cleared to play, do the G-men look to bring him in? Well, Ross, this is what we're talking about. Sorry you're late to the party. For offensive line help, maybe a vet minimum. If you can, talk about how a lot of teams won't sign a veteran until after week one, therefore they're not on the line for the entire salary. Why don't you break that down for folks so they understand that there might be some players the Giants sign after week one.
Right. What you need to understand, and let's give you Brandon Jacobs as an example last season, because there was a lot of interest on his part and on the Giants' part of having him back here. But what they did by waiting till after the first week of games were played is put themselves in a position where they would not be on the hook to guarantee his full season's worth of salary if they released him at any point during the season. In other words, if you sign a guy before opening day, you now have to guarantee his base salary for the year, plus obviously you're on the hook for your signing bonus. If you wait till after that first game is played, after week one is over, you now are in a position where you could cut him after the fourth week and not have to worry about paying him for whatever money is left over outside of the bonus. So there is a financial obligation and commitment that you are making to a player above and beyond his games if you sign him before week one and then decide to release him. It's that simple. Okay. There are financial implications there.
Here is a tweet from David Bryant, hashtag Giants Chat. Make sure you include that in your tweets, folks. The Giants tight end situation is so sad that we should do our diligence on Rudy. Might be an upgrade.
Tom Coughlin told us yesterday, Anita, that they're going to have to go tight end by committee.
Yeah, I read that.
Usually that's not a very positive phrase. You like to know that one or two guys is going to hold it down. When you hear by committee, Well, you're trying to wade your way through the pool.
But is that a surprise? That's not a surprise. We've been talking about that for.
Yeah.
Before the season began.
We knew. In reference to Coach, by the way, and maybe this does or does not have anything to do with Incognito, Coach said yesterday when asked about the offensive line, it's going to have to be the guys we have here because I don't think we're getting any help anywhere. Now, I'm not sure if at that point he was aware that the NFL had cleared Incognito to get back into the league or not. But he seemed to indicate, by his words, that there was no help coming. I don't know if that has any relevance in this Incognito situation or not.
Cap-wise?
They have about $8.5 million cap-wise on this year's total, according to the NFLPA, as of now. So they could do it. It's not a money thing. If they really wanted to get somebody in here, they could do it.
201-939-4513. Full boat of calls. Let's rock and roll through them. We go to John in New York City. John, welcome.
Hey, Anita, Paul, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, listen, guys, just want to let you know I watch all your video clips on Giants.com, and, you know, you guys are like the consummate professionals. I just want to throw that out at you.
Thank you.
I just really briefly want to mention some observations I've had about Nassib. I know that you two, and myself, and the rest of the world do not want to see a 2014 0-6 start, right? So here's my question. How long do you think, if we really come out of the gates, like, stumbling and fumbling and bumbling, as the guy from ESPN used to say, how long before, even if they let Eli start games, you know, to keep this Iron Man record going, how long before we see some Nassib? Because this guy has been throwing bullets and on target. And I want to just leave you with one last thing. I'm going to jump off. You guys can answer. By the way, I know it's preseason. It doesn't mean anything. But did you know that Nassib leads the NFL in passing yards and that Jennings is number one in rushing yards and Williams is number two in rushing yards in the NFL? That's my question and comment, and I'd love to hear what you have.
Well, it's actually something that I wanted to pose to Paul during the show today, and that is because I'm getting, I'm sure you're getting, I think a lot of the beat writers are getting the Nassib over Eli. Now, I think it's important that we point out that Eli's going up against opposing teams' number one defenses, but at the same time, Nassib is going up against opposing teams'. Granted, he's working with the second and third string, but he's going up against second and third string defensive players as well. So it's equal footing. But Nassib seems to have been able to execute this West Coast offense better than Eli has. Your thoughts on it? Why do you think that is? What gives?
I think part of it is that, you know, when they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, Eli Manning was in Gilbride's system for a long, long time. And what you have to do is not only teach him the new system, you have to break him out of the old one. And that's a lot of doing. Nassib has only been here for 2 years. And quite frankly, he wasn't very comfortable with Gilbride's system anyway last year.
Not a lot of guys are.
Okay. So, it's a lot easier for him to forget everything he learned last year and start from scratch than it is for Eli to unlearn what Kevin taught him. So I definitely believe that that is a huge reason why things are developing as they are. And quite honestly, I will tell you, and you and I discuss this, Anita, we watch practice all the time, Nassib didn't look very good as a rookie last year. And again, part of it was his discomfort with the offense, but he was a rookie. I think you could make an argument that from last year to this year, Nassib might be the most improved player on this roster. Because you know what? He's doing a pretty good job this preseason. And he deserves to be the number two. I will also say this to the caller. There is no way Eli Manning's getting benched. And it has nothing to do with his consecutive streak record. Tom Coughlin is not going to bench Eli Manning come hell or high water unless he is physically incapable of getting out onto the field. Now, That's another question entirely. And as Anita pointed out at the beginning of the show, with this offensive line, there may be a very good chance that Eli Manning will not be able to take the field at some point this season. In fact, maybe at some point early this season. And then you will be forced to see what Ryan Nassib does with the starters. Honestly, with all due respect to him, I hope for the Giants' sake it doesn't come to that. Enough said.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Jake. Jake in Long Island. Jake, welcome.
Hello?
I was wondering, who do you think's going to win the tight end job?
Well,
we were just talking about it. It's really going to be tight end by committee, whoever has the hot hand.
And how they fit in particular roles and matchups and particular plays and schemes and groupings. And it's really that simple right now. The Giants don't have anyone who stepped forward to be the guy. Okay? Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it. That's one of the positions, Anita, where I still think the Giants are going to probably make a waiver claim. You know, people talk about your final 53. How many people? I'm sure. Come on. You're a fantasy football nutcase. So I'm sure you play final.
Which, by the way, I just put up on Twitter. New York Giants media fantasy football draft is tonight. This is my first. You know, I have 10. This is my first of 10. So I know.
Wait a minute. This is only number one.
This is only number.
You
one.
Haven't had other drafts yet.
No. This is one of those.
Get out of stick, girl. What's wrong with you?
It's not. What do you mean?
Don't they have drafts like?
Most commissioners don't want to start drafting until this week
because of the cuts.
Because of the cuts.
Okay.
And not just the cuts, because really you're really not drafting a guy that's on the cusp of being cut.
No, you shouldn't be.
But just the fact that injuries and whatnot.
Right.
You know, you want to wait till the last possible minute before the regular season starts. So it's like the last 2 weeks heading into that Thursday night game that typically everybody wants to have their drafts. So yes. Anyway, but tonight is my first draft, and it's, you know, I'm going up against Garofalo and Servi and Patty and Connor and
all those guys,
Ebenezer
in
that room. Ralph and all the. I mean, it's you know,
they don't know what they're
in
for.
I lost to Ebenezer in the playoffs last year, and then he went on to win it all. I think he beat Patty. I want to say he beat Patty in the championship.
No kidding.
Yeah, so.
What was I going to say?
What you mentioned, you derailed me. You mentioned fantasy football.
Yeah, which is a bad thing to do with you.
It is.
You,
it is. Especially these 2 weeks.
I mean, you're like a rocket ship. You hear fantasy football and you're gone.
Boom!
Boom! That's it. He's gone. All right.
Sorry about it. Not sorry. 201-939-4. But what were you going to say about fantasy?
No.
Am I going to drop Corey Washington? No. I'm not going to. and neither should Giants fans.
I can't believe you said that.
Leave your love affair at the door when it comes to fantasy.
Just go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. The only Giants player that I would draft this season.
Rashad Jennings.
That's it. I wouldn't even draft Cruz. I won't. I can't. I haven't seen it.
It's fine.
I'm not willing.
I got you.
Jennings would be the only running back, the only player that I would draft, and I'd probably want him. He's falling to like the third or fourth round, so he would be an RB3/flex player on most people's roster. And I know that makes total sense to you because you're looking at me like I've got a third eye. So let's continue.
Come on. Last year I learned what PPR meant. Give me a break, will you?
201-939-4513. Let's go to Ed calling in from Maryland. Ed, welcome.
Hey, thanks guys for taking my call. I know people was calling about the tight position. This has been a major concern for us the past few years. And in the draft, everybody thought we'd probably go first round tight end, second round tight end, or at least third round tight end. And in the draft, we ended up getting no tight end. But now it's looking like it's a major hole going into the season. What do you think the Giants do? Because I already don't see us going having any good games with Adrian Robinson or Connell. Is Michael Finley still out there? Is he healthy? What's the word on him?
Jermichael Finley's still out there, but if he had been cleared for real, he would have been on a team by now. And that is not the case. He is still nowhere to be found. So that tells you, and if you read his Twitter, he's also continuing to work in rehab. So clearly the risk of his injury His neck injury is not worth anybody taking a shot at him at this point. He is continuing to pursue that, so we'll see. I now figured out, Anita, what I wanted to talk to you about, and it plays into this call. You know how people talk about the numbers games and how they like to play games, not fantasy games, but they like to bet on who are the 53 going to be on the final roster. Well, in reality, there are two 53s. Every team has two 53s. There's the 53 that comes on Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, which is the actual 53-man cut. Mm-hmm. Then there's the 53 that you take into week one of the regular season. And what I'm here to tell you, and it's what I told John yesterday, I think the Giants may have as many as four different players picked up on waivers between Saturday's, quote, final 53 and the 53 guys they take to Detroit to play the Lions opening night. To me, see, I care about the 53 that start the first game of the season. I could give a horse's ass about the 53 that survive on Saturday.
How do you really feel?
Well, you know why? Because I've been around long enough to know. I'll give you a great example. 1990, Bill Parcells is coaching the Giants. They get down to their 53. And 36 hours later, Dave Dorson, safety from the Chicago Bears, who got waived in the final cut, comes walking into Giants Stadium to practice. Because, lo and behold, Parcells wanted Dave Dorson, a champion, a winner, a guy who could help on special teams, a guy who could help in the sub-package. And I forget who it is that the Giants cut. But that's when I first understood that the 53 you see at the final cutdown is not necessarily the 53 that you see kicking off week one of the regular season. Because things do change in that short time frame. And Dave Dorson, of course, became an important part of that Giants Super Bowl team in 1990. Parcells was absolutely right to go get him. That's when I finally learned it. And that was about, 7 years on the beat at that point. So I'm telling folks, you may see more changes on this roster after Saturday at 6 o'clock with the 53 than you've probably ever seen on the Giants before. I could see 3, 4, who knows, might even be 5 guys change over the course of the week. So don't get married to the 53 you see on Saturday.
We've just got about 5 minutes left in the show, but if the calls keep on coming in, Paul and I have the luxury today to run over. So questions, comments. As I opened up the show, we've got a lot of hot topics on the table. Let me go through them again. Incognito, cleared, able to join a team, visited with the Bucks yesterday, Giants struggling offensively, on the offensive line. Is this a guy that you want to see the Giants even consider making a phone call, doing some research, bringing him in, meeting with him, talking to him, seeing what he can do and how he can help this offense? Are you willing to say, all right, well, put his problems behind and look forward, because God knows this Giants team needs more help on the offensive line? That's one hot topic for today. Another, the Giants playing the Patriots Thursday night. Reports are that the first team is only going to take 15 to 18 snaps. I want to see more. Both Paul and I feel that we want to see the first team offense play at least a half, considering we really haven't seen a lot of productivity, if any, from them all season. I think that's important. And then also today by 4 p.m., the Giants have to cut their roster from 90 to 75. That means 15 must go. And obviously, so everybody, you know, follow Twitter, all the beat writers, Paul Dottino. And we will keep you on top of the players that are being released today. One for sure we know, and that's Charles James, who actually did extremely well on specials. So you were quite surprised by that when you found out about
that
this morning.
Yes, I was. And again, if you're tuning in late, that means Bennett Jackson probably has a better chance of making the team this morning than he did the day before. I want to give you one name, Anita, of a guy who I'm interested in who's already been cut by another team. Tight end Brian Wozniak, rookie out of Wisconsin. And if you know anything about Wisconsin football, people talk about how Penn State's linebacker you. Well, Wisconsin is tight end you. There's like 8 tight ends from Wisconsin in the National Football League. Wozniak's the latest. He's an old-school blocking first tight end. Goes about 6'4", 250 pounds. Got cut by the Falcons, I think it was yesterday. That would be a guy who would interest me, at least of the first round that we have seen on the waiver wire to this point.
Let's continue with our calls. As I said, we'll go as long as the calls keep on rocking and rolling. And what a great segue that is. This is why I get paid the big bucks. Let's go to Rocky in Florida. Rocky, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amiga. How y'all doing?
All right.
Oh, yeah. The thing about Incognito, I know he's more of a inside guy. And I don't see why we shouldn't go get him. If we don't, it's probably going to bite us in the butt. And then whenever Swartz does get healthy and Mosley gets healthy, if need be, if Brown or Beattie don't play up the ball on that left side, we could always move Q over there and have Swartz or Jerry hold that right tackle spot down for us, huh?
Well, you know, they don't want to move Q. They were forced to this past week in practice just because they needed to get some competent snaps out of the position. That's certainly a last resort. Look, I'll be honest with you, Rocky. Again, I would do due diligence. I would investigate Incognito. I don't know that he's a good fit. I agree with Anita. This locker room's a really good locker room. I'd be very hesitant to sign him. But I'd listen, and I'd give him a chance to try to convince me.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind taking a chance because our locker room is so good. If we were some other team, I'd probably say no, but I think we could handle it. And you said James cut already, Paul?
Yeah, he's put it out on Twitter that he's been released.
Because I was sure he was going to make the 53. How much does that have to do with that Jet game where the receiver had done threw the ball to the ref and he hit him late? I bet Coughlin didn't like that, did he?
Well, I'm sure, but quite frankly, he also gave up a couple of too many completions over the course of the last few games in the preseason, too, and that's just not a good thing. And I'm disappointed for him because he was a real go-getter. Great attitude, lively, well-liked in the locker room, good attitude, brought a lot to the table on special teams. But, you know, he is a small guy, and that's part of the problem because you know he's going to be in a mismatch against a lot of receivers in this league. And, you know, at 5'9" and 179 pounds, that can be an issue. And so he says that he's been released. I wish him well. I do think he'll land somewhere in the league because, again, special teams has a value.
Yeah, I agree. And luckily, we got Bowman spinning out really good for us. But now I was going to ask you, what was the chances we could trade McBride for a tight end? But if James is gone, we're going to need McBride now, I guess. Huh?
No question about that. There, McBride is going to be on this 53. I had them both on my 53, to be honest with you.
I did, too.
Anyway.
Remember, I had all five safeties on my 53, too, and was going with 8. Those linemen, but that's not going to work now.
Yeah, I had 6 corners and 4 safeties for 10 DBs on my 53, and now that James is gone, I'm going to sub him out with Jackson, and we'll see. Unless Jackson's name appears today or Saturday, then I guess maybe he's going to wind up being the 6th corner, or maybe for some reason, maybe they got somebody, they got an eye on somebody. Maybe they think someone else is coming in. We're going to find out, Rocky.
I agree with Anita. I mean, your 12th overall pick, you want him to play, but we're married to him now, and everybody keeps talking about Miles Austin. I remember Dante Stallworth battled them hammies down in New Orleans and throughout his career, and I'd almost just treat it like we was Wilson, and when he comes back, it's a bonus, and just don't put all our eggs in that basket, as Bree said, and just nurse it and nurse it until, because the last thing we need him is to blow it out.
Well, thank you for the call, Rocky. Really do appreciate it. Let's go to line 3. We've got Jason calling in from Maine. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello? Hey, Jason, how are you?
No Jason. Let's go to line 1. We've got Shane calling in from New York. Shane, you there?
Hey, Anita, how are you?
Great.
Two things. To touch on the Incognito thing that you guys keep bringing up. I'm all for it. I mean, I see the potential to be like a locker room cancer. Like, I don't want that. But at the same time, like, you see things happen with, like, Riley Cooper last year, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if the Giants are going to be so concerned about what's he going to bring, this and that, don't pay him. Bring him in on, like, a small deal, 1 year, prove it kind of situation. And if he pans out, given the state of the offensive line, then it's a win-win. And if he's not what you want, just get rid of him because you kind of got him in there for no money. If he's willing to go for something like that, I would assume that maybe not because he's getting back into the league and probably wants to play on a team that's going to keep him around. And then
I would only add to you this, too. The Giants are not the only team that desperately needs an offensive lineman. So
obviously,
I'm sure he's going to have several suitors who are either, A, willing to take the risk, or, B, at least willing to talk to him.
No, I totally agree with you, and that's kind of where I would see the flaw in like what I just said. I was kind of thinking about like how when the Patriots just bring guys in, like when they brought Corey Dillon in that year. It's like either you know do it or don't, and then if you don't want to do it, like there's the door. So, and then I kind of had a question for you guys about the whole Eli Manning, the new offense thing. Like I keep hearing you say like it's going to take him a while to unlearn Kevin Gilbride's system, this, that, and it. I kind of feel like are we giving him a little bit too much credit here, or like maybe making the learning curve a little bit longer than it needs to be. Like, Peyton Manning and like learned that new offense when he went to Denver.
Wait, time out.
It seemed like almost overnight.
Time out really quick. See, this is what happened with that. When Peyton Manning did his little tour around the NFL, you know, to see, well, okay, you want me, I'm going to come in and meet with you.
Right.
Peyton came in and said, not only are you getting me, but you're getting this is the offense that I am going to run.
Okay, I was unaware of that.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, it wasn't like he went over to Denver and they're like, all right, well, this is the offense we're going to put you in. How do you feel about it? No, Peyton was like, Peyton has. And I've brought this up before. Like, I feel, you know, Eli's a veteran and he's won Super Bowls and he's been the MVP of Super Bowls. I feel that Eli should have had more input and more say in regard to the offense that he plays in because.
To the system that was going to be in place?
Yeah. I don't understand. You know, because he's obviously struggling.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, you have to look, again, you have to look at the success that Matt Nassib is having. And I think a big reason for that, Paul, is because he fits this system. There's, you know, there are two ways that coaches, in my opinion, and tell me if you disagree with me, walk into a situation. Okay, it's they look at the team that they have, and they say, okay, well, this is what my quarterback does well. This wide receiver runs a post better than he runs a post corner. This wide receiver is better on this side of the field than that side of the field. This running back likes to run with, for example, Willis McGahee. He could not stand having a fullback. He liked to be in that one set in that backfield. Okay. He hated running behind a fullback. So know what you have is, and if that's your starting running back, if this is your X receiver, if this is your Y receiver, if this is your tight end, Brandon Myers, for example, Brandon Myers is horrible running a skinny post. He can't catch a ball running a so don't make him run a skinny post. He's great with out routes. He's great with curls. That's what we're going to see Tampa Bay. Let me tell you something. Brandon Myers is going to blow it up this year in Tampa because the system that he's going to be playing in Tampa is not what he played here.
I hope they don't ask him to block.
He didn't. they're probably not. But this is where I'm going with this, is that, you know, you come into a system and you look at the talent you have, and then you create a system that's going to accentuate what you have, as opposed to coming in and saying, okay, this is my system, and you're going to play here, and you're going to play there, and then you're going to play here, and you're going to, you know, if you look, I think I shared this with you, if you look at the stats, when Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel were competing for that starting quarterback spot with the Cleveland Browns, they went down that preseason game right before Mike Pettine decided who the starting quarterback was going to be, and they went down like the playlist in regard to like what plays, how many running plays, passing plays, this and that. They had Manziel running eight, at that point in time when the stat came out, 18 pistol plays, 0 for Hoyer. Why? Because Hoyer's not going to excel running the pistol. It's not his game. So you know, we're sitting here and you're on Twitter, social media, all these fans, Nassib, Nassib, Nassib. It's just because this system fits his ability better. It doesn't mean he's the better quarterback. And that's why, like, can you hear the frustration? If I'm Eli, I'm frustrated. I'm pissed. I'm upset. Anyway, all right, I'll get off my soapbox. Here we go. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's happening, Paul? Listen, I hope y'all don't. First of all, I want to weigh in because I said this
months ago, and John and Lance Shopping all oh, character this, this character the other, whoa, whoa, whoa. And my whole thing about Incognito is this. First of all, we all make mistakes. His teammates supported him. He's a good player that we could get cheap, who is obviously on his last mistake. I'm so tired of the New York Football Giants being up on a soapbox. And, I mean, our character does, you know, mean something to me. Don't get me wrong, guys. But the risk is, the reward is far out greater than the risk at this point, given that this guy has been ostracized and alienated. I think it would be a great opportunity for us to get a good player on the Chiefs.
All right, Steve, can you give me half a second here? And, again, I'm sure. Not here to dispute what you're saying. However, I do think you're assuming he's going to be on the cheap. Now, despite the fact that he has baggage, I think Anita and I both agree there are a lot of teams in the NFL who could use the talent that Richie Incognito brings to the table. And I am sure that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have already had him for a visit, are one of only several teams that have called him. And once you start having demand and you have teams calling you, suddenly cheap isn't so cheap anymore. So, you know, please, everybody who's talking about Richie, and Anita was right to pose the question, but it's not like, okay, do the Giants decide that they want Incognito or not because this is an easy deal to do? It's not going to be an easy deal to do because not only does Incognito, if he comes here, not only will he have to convince the Giants that he can be a good citizen and fit into this locker room, they're also then going to have to figure out what type of contract is going to work for him. And he will have other teams that he will want to talk to see if he can leverage the best possible deal.
Listen, you make a good point, Paul. I can't even dispute that. All I'm saying is this. We need to calculate our risk, our dollars, and everything into it. If we're going to make a man an offer, make him an offer, stand on it. If he decides to go somewhere else, so be it. But I think we ought to give it our due diligence. That's all I'm going to say about that. But you do make a great point, Paul. And I understand what you're saying about, you know, with the demand. But let's talk about something more important for just a moment, if we could. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of slack for this, because I always do. I caught hell on the shakedown yesterday for talking about Eli. And I want to say this. Clearly, first of all, I'm not going to sit here and say that Ryan Nassib is a better quarterback than Eli, because he has far too much to prove for anybody to say that. But I will say that he has not look like the professional he should be for 10 years. And it's just not how he doesn't look as comfortable. It's that he's looking bad while he's not playing good at the same time. So that's why all these people are crying for Nassib. Anita, I heard you alluding to that, basically putting it on McAdoo that he should change the system. Well, the system was broke, okay? You heard that directly from the owner. So it is time to change. And other players have made adjustments after being in the league. Phillip Rivers did it. Okay, he didn't go in there demanding, oh, this is what I want to run, like you're saying, the Peyton Manning. I don't know how true that is about Peyton Manning, but I don't even care. I want to see, Eli, do what he has to do in order to make this work, because that's what we have. I'm not saying that
Steve, I'm going to ask you to, Steve, I'm going to ask you to pause for just a second, because, I appreciate your frustration, and I appreciate your point, but here's what I want to say. Eli Manning is working behind an offensive line that is not only crumbled, but one that changes every hour on the hour. You know, you mentioned Phillip Rivers. Well, when they had him change his system, his offensive line was good in front of him. He was in a position where he could have time to change his system because the guys in front of him were solid. The Giants' O-line is not solid.
Another point I want to make here is I don't believe that Kevin Gilbride's system was broke. What happened was, the players that were drafted and the free agents that were brought in did not help his system. So it's very difficult. For example, David Wilson would have been an absolute stud star in Chip Kelly's system. Not here. Dude didn't know how to pass protect. You need a running back who knows how to pass protect in Kevin Gilbride's system. They did not draft a running back who knew how to pass protect. Kevin Gilbride begged for this organization to go out and get offensive linemen for Eli Manning. That did not happen. So I'm not sitting here defending Kevin Gilbride, but, blame goes on both sides. I don't believe that it was all. I don't believe it was all Gilbride and his system was broke. It was the fact that the players that were here could not execute the system any longer because they weren't drafted or brought in properly. So it's on both sides.
I see your point. I'm not going to take any much time. I just want to say that you know the offensive line has some serious problems. We know that. Okay, you know, but the decision making, you know, not you know throwing the ball out of bounds, throwing the defender. That's what people, you know, have people have ruined. It's just that he's looking bad while he's learning it. And the thing is, the fact of the matter is, Nassib and Painter are looking much more comfortable doing what they're doing. And
Steve, you're absolutely right that Eli Manning has looked really bad at times. I thought he looked like the rookie Eli Manning when he threw that pick the other night against the Jets. Thank goodness for him, the DB stepped out of bounds and came back in. That was a dreadful, dreadful play. Again, I think what you're seeing is a quarterback who's forcing things. He's trying to make things happen. He's trying too hard. And quite frankly, what's the one thing that you can do to any quarterback in the NFL to screw him up? Simple. Blow up his offensive line. Wreck his offensive line. And all bets are off now because things are going to start falling apart. Eli Manning is burdened with a crumbled offensive line. Steve, I got to run. We only got a couple of calls left. Take care.
Quicker, better decisions. That's all we want.
I hear you.
201-939-4513. We could go about five more minutes, so I'm going to try to rock and roll through everybody. Let's go to Joe in PA. Joe, welcome. Joe, you there?
Hurry up offense, Joe. Come on, we got to go.
Okay. We end with Jim? Are we going to end with Jim? All right, here we go. Jim, make it strong. Last call of the day here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Okay, just a question for you guys. I'm concerned about the offensive line. Everybody is. But we've rushed the ball well in preseason. And not just, you know, we're not just picking up rushing yards in the second half of games. We gashed Buffalo pretty good. We didn't do so good against Pittsburgh, but we did good last week. The hypothesis is that really it's not a matter of we don't have the talent, but the offensive line just hasn't gelled yet because we've moved it around so much and we can expect it to get better.
Well, I think it's part of both, to be frank with you, but everybody will tell you it's much easier for a line to run block than it is pass block. That's part of it. And the other part of it is give these running backs credit. Jennings and Williams are extremely talented. These guys are good.
No doubt, but, I mean, if they can run block better, then we know they're going to be able to pass block, too. It's when they're getting stuck and it's, you know, 2nd and 10 – third and nine, and then they're on their heels.
Well, this is why...
I think there just might be some hope there with what we have on the offensive line. And if we bring in Richie Incognito, Coughlin's the kind of guy that can get his character under control. He's done it with a lot of players on the roster right now.
The bottom line is, whether or not the Giants' offensive line is going to be capable of pass blocking or not, that's something that, at the very least, is going to take time to develop. And while that happens, Eli better manage games and lean on his running attack, because that's the only way the Giants are going to be competitive in the first month of this season.
Yeah, no doubt, and I think that's a good way to proceed. I mean, 1990 Giants managed games every single game, and they won a Super Bowl like that.
Appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, so really a very strong show today. Thank you for all our listeners out there for calling in. Obviously, hot topics on the table to discuss, and that's a big reason. So much uncertainty on how good this Giants team is going to be as we are just, almost 2 weeks away from the regular season. That's a big concern. So practice today starts at 11:45. Tom Coughlin will be made available to the media at 1:20. Players will be made available to the media at 1:25. Those interviews will be posted online at Giants.com. So make sure you log back on to Giants.com if you're interested on all that is done and said today here at camp. Tonight, the MSG show, who's hosting?
I know Bob will be doing the show tonight.
You did yesterday.
I did.
Who were you on with yesterday?
I had Feagles with me yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love Feagles.
Yeah, he's a good man. Don't forget, folks, too, the cuts. 4 o'clock today is the deadline to get to 75. Saturday at 6 o'clock is the deadline to get to 53. We know Charles James has confirmed on his own on Twitter that he is gone. Again, surprising. I reiterate, real good special teams player. I wish him well.
are you hosting tomorrow? Who's hosting Big Blue Kickoff tomorrow? Because I'm sure tomorrow is going to be an interesting day, even after the cuts are announced by 4 p.m. today.
I think I'm back on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, with Lance
and John tomorrow. Okay. All right, fantastic. Wishing everybody a fantastic Tuesday, and stay tuned to Giants.com for more information.